Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. I'm Kristen, and I'm here today with Neil, and we are both here to talk to you, give you readings on the air, and discuss our topic, our continuing topic, which is manifesting animal spirits. We talked about this on Friday. For those of you who weren't able to attend on Friday, that show is in the archives. Our listener line, 914-338-0164. We've got some callers in the queue. Welcome, callers. We will be getting to your calls in about 15 to 20 minutes, so do keep your place in the queue by staying on the phone. Everyone in the queue currently will be getting a reading during the show. We want to invite you to follow us here on Blog Talk Radio so you can stay connected to us and our show schedule. We also have a Facebook account, two Facebook accounts, actually, Neil and Kristen Baker, as well as Neil Baker Psychic. If you could follow us there, send us a friend request, like us, we would love it. And there's also a Twitter account, again, 914-338-0164. And for further conversation, 562-596-7818. That's the phone number to call after the show. But manifesting animal spirits. So, Neil, on the last show, just to briefly recap, we had identified some different types of animal spirit guides, messenger guides, shadow guides, and journey guides. So that's where we left off. We're actually remembering where we left off today, which is good.
Yeah, those are the three main categories. We group them that way because we're dealing with animal guides that give messages, that just come in, they give a message, and then they are gone. Shadow guides stay with us a little bit longer because they help us conquer our fears. And then the life guides are here throughout the whole life of an individual.
And the journey guides. So these are the main types of animal guides.
These are the main, yeah. I mean, they can come in any form of any energy. Animals all perform a different function in the world, and they have a different characteristic. Sometimes they're kind of interconnected. But the animal energy itself doesn't mean that if your animal guide is a bee as opposed to a falcon, it doesn't mean that one is any less than the other. They both have their energy fields that they're dealing with. Because really, when you're dealing with animal spirit guides, you're working with different things. You're working with chaos, how to eliminate chaos, which any animal will face. You're also looking at, when it comes to chaos, you're looking at the patterns of chaos. So how can you avoid chaos? Animals are equipped to not only hunt, but to avoid. So we learn that we have a lot of our instincts in terms of the avoidance of trouble. A lot of the most powerful animals we have avoid trouble. In fact, a lot of them don't attack until they know they can win. So they avoid, animals that kind of avoid chaos if they can. So when you have an animal spirit guide, it's also teaching you how to avoid chaos, conflict, but then also how to understand how to deal with conflict once it comes.
So there's a survival element. I mean, animal guides can teach us how to survive, basic survival, because animals are in that mode, obviously.
Animals are in that mode, although the animal kingdom also has wisdom. So there's a certain innate wisdom that's involved in the animal kingdom world. Also the ability to move without fear, like move without fear in the darkness, because of a lot of our animal energy spirits, well, a lot of animal energies will move in the darkness without any fear because a lot of them are not nocturnal. So these elements help us to move in the darkness. That also means moving in the world of the astral realm, in those other spheres where we can do a lot of our soul work and where we can empower ourselves and understand how to deal with unknown places, how to illuminate our psychic sight. A lot of animal spirits will help us do that, and they're very valuable in that respect. Once you connect to elements of the animal kingdom, animal spirit guides.
So, the average individual, how many animal spirit guides can one have? I mean, can it be multiple, or is there going to be a primary guide, or there's going to be a primary guide from each category that we defined earlier?
When it comes to animal spirit guides, there's no specific count. I mean, you could even choose to have one spirit animal guide, and that's the one you want. You can have multiple spirit guides. They don't really war with each other as they would in the natural world. Animal spirit guides work in unison.
You would think there would be harmony in the astral realm versus what it's like on
Earth. There is harmony. And they're sort of the keepers of circular time in a continuum. So they keep that element of all aspects of time, the round energy of time, 12, 24, and so on. And so they have that energy field. In the zodiac, Chinese zodiac, they're all animal energies. And they all have a certain wisdom that they impart to human beings. So in that respect, they can empower our egos as much as separate us from becoming too enveloped in our ego. So the animal guides can help us establish power. They can give us a clarity of intention and strength. They can help us gain self-confidence, freedom from guilt, because animals really don't have guilt. And they can be cunning. So when we look at those elements and we look at the, whatever animal it is, whether it's a wolf or an owl or bear, or whatever it may be, deer, dolphin, snake, they all have their certain characteristics. I like to think of the animal kingdom as all animals. So I try to be friendly to all the
animals.
From an
ant to a bear.
The ants are very industrious. They're very social. They're very strong. And they have a network of communication that's remarkable. So they work in unit. If I'm dealing with something more solitary, I could go to a bear or a wolverine. Those animals are more solitary, jaguar. When you get more into the social kingdom, which still involves lions and things like that because they have prides, you get more into a social network. But you can separate the element of an animal from its social network as opposed to being an individual energy, and recognize the uniqueness of an animal also recognizing its placement in the total organization of its
right. There are multiple animals, whether it's on their individual characteristics, you're saying, or their interaction within a group setting, but manifesting them. So first thing, is it easier to manifest animal guides, do you think, if you're a vegetarian?
Not necessarily. I choose to be a vegetarian because my communications are important. I want to talk to all the animals. But for those who are not vegetarian, they choose to eat meat, you can have any animal guide you want. You're not restricted. The meat eating is not, you're not restricted. That's a personal choice,
of course. We're not advocating vegetarianism or saying that, you're not going to have an animal guide. But I wanted to clarify. I mean, generally, if you beef, you're probably not going to have a steer as your guide.
Well,
but I don't know. Really?
No, not necessarily. A lot of individuals believe that by eating the meat of the animal, they take on the spirit of the animal.
Okay,
so there's
a
sacred bond in there in regard to, I'm a vegetarian and I'm strongly opposed to eating meat. But I can't put my personal beliefs into the structure of the universe and state that, if you eat meat, you can't have a spirit.
Okay, well, so we've clarified that. So manifesting the guides, aside from being a vegetarian or not a vegetarian, which is obviously not going to be something that prohibits someone from connecting with animal spirits. Though I do think if you're a vegetarian, you might have a better chance of reaching more
guides. There's a unity and a clarity that because the consciousness, your consciousness is related to respecting all animals.
And I have to say, on a personal level, I'm a vegetarian most of the time, but I do occasionally eat fish, so I can't classify myself as a true vegetarian. So this is like, you know, not a judgment call on anybody, because I would have to judge myself.
Yeah. I see, it's hard for me because I literally communicate with animals. So it's hard for me to eat an animal that I've been communicating with. I mean, on an astral level, on a cosmic level, where I actually have conversation with animals. So I don't want to, there's just no way I can do it. It's just kind of disgusting to me. But it's not even a consideration.
So do you think our earthly relationship with animals, aside from whether we eat meat or don't eat meat, our connection with animals on a physical level, how we interact with them, the ones that are in our environment, or the insects that surround our home, the birds, et cetera,
yeah.
Does that help to start to connect on an astral level with animal guides, do you think?
Well, it does, because if you elevate the elements of the animal kingdom on a spiritual basis, and you're dealing with the spirit, the energy of the animal, then you have more access to them on a more of a celestial wavelength, and so you communicate to them on a much higher level of energy, because in the spiritual world there is no there's no eating. The animals don't consume each other on the spiritual level. So you have to understand that if you're dealing with an animal spirit guide, they may be manifested, you may see the manifestation of the animals in the body, but the spiritual energy of the animal is not in the body. So that's why there's no need to eat the animal. I mean, a lot of people who eat animals respect animals and love animals, and they have, you know, they just manage to have that duality in their mind. But again, when I'm dealing with animals and in my line of work, I'm not going to be eating an animal to understand the full grasp and to internalize that animal on a spiritual level. I don't need
right, because you communicate with animals. You're able to communicate with animals insofar as you can hear their vibration and convert it into language, which
so there's just no, you know, I mean, we can get to a point where we can say the plants, the air, I mean, it can get ridiculous, but to me, you know, I kind of stop the line. If it has a brain, I'm not going to eat.
Okay, so manifesting these animal guides, because that's our topic today, what are some other things that people can do to manifest animal spirits in their life and begin to communicate with them? Because I believe on the last show, I did leave off with saying that on my personal journey, seeing animal guides, which I do on a regular basis, on a daily basis, astral spirit guides from the animal kingdom, I'm still working on receiving messages from them that I can interpret. That's where I'm at right now. And it's a challenge. It's a challenge. I mean, it's a good challenge, but it's a challenge.
Yeah. I mean, life is a challenge. There's always going to be some kind of challenging remark in terms of dealing with animal spirit guides and how to internalize them in the best way you can. I have internalized them by actually encountering them and taking their energy in and just using every aspect that I can. Now, of course, I haven't personally met every kind of animal on the planet. So I've also taken on the energy of visualization, which is something you can do.
Aha, that's good. So visualization.
Visualization. We have access now to seeing them on camera and the movies and on screen. So we could do it that way. We can see them in books, drawings, painting. The painting of an animal is very important. You can take that energy in because it's still the transference of human energy, animal energy to human energy. And so you can do it through that. There's just... you know, there's tapes, you can get sounds of animals. There's so many different ways to do it. But generally speaking, when you go out into nature and you absorb the natural world, if you go to a place where you're away from the sounds of the city and you're in the natural world and you hear water and you hear insects, you hear birds, you are taking in the energy, the representation of nature. And when you take that energy into your system and put it through all of your chakras, all of your pores, you're already a candidate for communicating with the natural world. So that might be another way of doing it.
Okay, let's take some callers, shall we? 949 is our first. 917 is next, then 253, and then 443. That's the order today, everybody. And let's bring on 949. Hello, 949. Who's this, please?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My name is Dee Dee.
Oh, hi, Dee Dee. We spoke with you recently, did we not?
319-78. It's been a few weeks.
319-78? Is that your birthday?
No.
No, what? 5/27/65. Sorry, everything's bunched up, and I'm actually going backwards and looking in your case because I did not remember it.
That's okay.
Okay. What's your question?
Yeah. My daughter is dating this guy. They had broken up and they're recently back together.
He's the Pepperidge Farm guy, right? The Pepperidge Farm.
Yes. And he's confessed that he had a heroin addiction. He was straight up honest, you know, told me everything, said, this is who I am. And my daughter recently helped him go to detox, I guess it was. It was all quiet. I mean, the whole thing was, my daughter had made up a lie saying he had the flu. And anyway, the truth came out. Now they're back together. And I've been encouraging him to get into some sort of a program because I feel like, you know, wanting to quit on your own is all fine and good. But, you know, I mean, to get involved with something like this to begin with means that you're hurting and, you know, and you need help. So I don't know what's going to happen. I'm nervous as a parent. I truly like him as a person. I mean, I've really gotten to know him since then. He is a good, he seems like he has a good heart, but I'm scared to death. I mean, they're talking about marriage and having kids and.
Yeah. Remember supported that decision, wanted to see them together in the last show, but then you found this information out afterward. Do you have his birth date? I think we got the birth dates. No, I don't see birth dates. Do you have his birth date?
Yeah, it's August 15, 1989.
I think we got this from you, but I can't find it. 14/24. Oh God. 41/5.
Yeah.
And remember your daughter, I think they were the same master number, but your daughter had a much lower karmic number, if I'm remembering correctly. What is your daughter's birthday?
It's 2/22/97.
97/6/16. Yeah, she's a 32/5. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. So
yeah, they have the
same master number, as I remember. So, Neil, do you have anything to say?
Well, you know, it's always difficult, Dee Dee, when you take on someone who has a lot of problems, a lot of baggage, and especially with an addiction like this. And it doesn't mean they can't seek help and be rehabilitated and carry through on life. So it's hard. It's difficult. You don't want to automatically judge, but it is concerning. I mean, he's got this problem. It's going to be a problem they're dealing with. Now she wants to, they're talking about marriage and whatever that may lead to, children whatsoever. But yeah, I mean, I can understand your concern. You have a kind of, what's strange in this world is your month and day and his month and day both come to 14. Now, does that really mean anything? Well, in a way it does, because there is a kind of connection between your energy and their energies. In fact, your master number and your child and this young man's master number comes to 18, which is his first two numbers inverted. Now, if you were to ask me, I believe that there's a past life connection between the three of you. Now, that doesn't automatically mean, oh, there's a past life connection between the three of us. So does that mean I'm trapped? Not necessarily. It just means there is a history. Don't forget, Dee Dee, your first and last numbers are both fives, which amounts to his master number and your daughter's. And so, you know, we can go on like this all day, and you can say, okay, the numbers are connected, there's a past life. So that means that whatever drama I'm in with these two people, you're saying there's a tag to a past life, there's history, that there's something vibrating beyond just the body. I would say yes. Now, how to work that out and get into the elaborate system of interpreting the fine details of this journey, we can't do on a radio show. We'd need the whole hour. So I can't do that. But I can say that I understand your concern. But again, there's a lot to be said for this young guy. And, you know, according to how much he's involved in redeeming himself, what kind of job he's going to have, how consistent he's going to be. I think there's a lot to do before jumping into marriage. So we'd have to elaborate. Mm-hmm. We don't have time. But we have to elaborate more on his life, what he's doing, how much of a commitment he's making. But just by the initial vibration, I wouldn't say to run from this. I would say to be cautious and to interconnect with it on some level.
She was asking specifically about whether he should get involved with the program. How long has he been off? I mean, when was the addiction, the period that he was addicted?
He had 5 years sobriety and recently fell off the wagon. I think it's been probably close to 3 weeks. And then that's when he got sick and my daughter rushed him to the hospital and he spent a week in the hospital detoxing. And now he's actually detoxed and, like I said, the whole thing was a lie. She told me he got food poisoning and that's why she was so worried. And then he finally came clean and literally told me the truth as to what had happened. Yeah.
I see. Well, I mean, programs can be helpful, I think, but, you know, also the right situation, I'm not a huge advocate for AA or NA. I mean, they help some people, but, you know, people transfer their whole addiction onto the program. Yeah. So getting a good qualified therapist.
I understand that, too.
It's way too early to be talking about marriage. I mean, your daughter's foolish.
That's what I thought.
Way too early. So bottom line, it's way too early. That should be on the table.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, hopefully that helps, Dee Dee.
Thank you, guys. Okay. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay. Bye. And Dee Dee can call 562-596-7818. It's difficult with situations like this because it requires a lot more investment of time. And, you know, because it's a radio show, and we've got other callers, but perhaps she'll call. Okay, and she can call back the show as well. 917 is our next caller. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, who's this? Hi.
This is Lola.
Lola. Hi, Lola.
Hi.
So and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from the East Coast.
Okay. Go ahead. Birth dates, actually, would be good.
Sure. February 18, 1973.
Okay. Go ahead.
So I've been out of work for 8 months, and I've been sending out tons of resumes and as well been meeting with people and trying to do a little networking through friends of friends and so forth. And I'm just having a tricky time finding work. And I was wondering if you have any advice. I work in the creative industry.
You work in the creative industry?
Mm-hmm.
What part of the creative industry?
Well, I run a small art gallery. I've been a fashion editor. I've worked in publishing, my own magazine, things like that. So, so everything has been creative-based.
Creative-based.
Producing, so. Creative,
okay,
producing,
and you're
curatorial projects, that sort of thing.
And you're 44 years old? 43 years old.
Yeah, 1973.
73,
yeah.
You know, I know that today it's different when you say you're working for a magazine. There's so many online magazines and things like that. But in my world of thinking, when I say magazine, we could extend it into a more contemporary definition. But I'm seeing you work somewhere in that line. Has that occurred to you?
Well, I used to work, when I first started my career, I worked actually at a magazine. Then I moved on to doing different types of work, styling, freelancing as a stylist. And then I worked as in advertising for 7 years, and I ran a small gallery. So I produced exhibitions. And so I left my job in December because it just wasn't going anywhere. And in the meantime, I figured I'd find something sooner than this, but it's ending up 8 months.
Find something sooner. And Lola, you know what? I don't know if you're on a speaker or a headset, but it's hard to hear you.
Oh, okay. Can you hear me now?
That's better.
Okay, great.
Well, do you want to stay in the creative field? Do you want to stay in what you're doing?
I really like it. Yeah. I mean, it's the thing that brings me joy. So, but it can be in, you know, publishing. It could be in the art industry. It could be in fashion. You know, I'm open to all sorts of.
I'm getting something in the written material here. Something about consulting or editing or something along that line is what I'm getting initially. So,
well, I've been working on a book with an artist.
Have you been doing this for?
So wait, she's saying, what did you say?
Since January, I've been working on a book with an artist for her artwork. So it's pretty much done. We just have to get it printed. But that's not really like really a lucrative deal. Like, it's not going to give me financial stability or anything.
I see. But
well,
maybe that's why you're giving
up. That path, Lola, is basically the, I'm picking up on that because maybe you're doing it. But I think that path could lead to more lucrative arrangements for you. So I would suggest you stay in the publishing aspect of this. That's what my suggestion would be. Have you been doing this kind of work in some form or another for the last 22 years?
I'm sorry?
Have you been doing this work in some form for the last 22 years?
Publishing? No, not
all
the time.
Art.
Yeah, I've been doing creative work for my whole career. But specifically art, I ran a gallery for 5 years.
So the duration of your entire career in the art industry would be how long?
I would say probably 6 or 7 years.
6 or 7 years, so that's not close to 22.
No, 22 is creative industry experience.
Well, that's art. That's what. So would it be 22 years around that exactly?
Yeah.
Less, more?
Yeah.
About 22 years?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You gotta go into some kind of look at the publications, the periodicals, you know, where your expertise is on that and how best you can express it. There's something to do with the narrative form, the written form.
She's not a writer. It'd be like publication. Like what?
Yeah,
what,
I'm not a writer. Yeah.
Like an editor
or
what kind of
I'm more of a creative producer. So I organize and put things together. I just tried to do this book for her. That was just something new for me, and it was interesting.
Yeah.
But basically, I created events, exhibitions. I do styling gigs. So it's just been in the creative industry, not specifically art only. It's been art, fashion, et cetera.
She could do, like, fashion editing in a magazine. Is that kind of what you're talking about?
Yeah, you're doing this. This is a new venture for you, this part of it. So I'm feeling that this might be a new door for you to go in where you help other people develop their projects and produce them.
Mm-hmm. I can do that.
So, So you might be getting, you know, you might have 20 clients working on their project who need your expertise, and you charge, you know, you start to charge a commanding fee for that, for those services and that knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I think you should be right now. In helping people with their creative projects, helping to produce it, being an expert on it, and charging a fee for your time.
So you think I have to still be a freelancer? I'd rather just get a full-time gig, you know, work for a company or something.
Well,
it's just
I mean,
stability freelancing. I've been doing it for years, you know.
Well, then go to a place that produces, that has a production. You know, if you're going to work for somebody, to me, I'm seeing it that they have a editorial staff. They do publication. They do something that has some kind of written word form to it, and you could work for them. So it's got to be along that line, not, you know. So start looking at some of the periodicals, things like that.
Okay.
I mean, there could be job agents. Aren't there agencies that maybe specifically, or what are those?
Yeah, I mean, I've tried headhunters. I've tried
That's
everything,
what I was
really,
thinking.
And it just wasn't. Nothing is coming forward. And I think it's because I have so many different experiences on my resume. It just
there's not enough specialized in one area. That's
well, you know, you may not want to,
right. Exactly.
You may not want to be freelance, but I'm telling you, I'm doing a reading, so I'm getting maybe to revisit that and to start to sell yourself off as what you're doing with this woman on her project. You might want to start to work in such an area. What kind of a commanding salary would you need to, you know, what are you looking for in a yearly level for that's
I could do well with like 65. I think that's like 60, 65 would be like a comfortable living, I think.
Okay. Well, Lola, I don't know what to tell you. I think that if you hire yourself off as a freelance consultant and you start to market yourself, you might find enough individuals to, you know, to command that kind of yearly salary. And, you know, it may be easier than you think. That's what I'm thinking. That's my first step for you.
Okay. And then I should just market it on, like, Craigslist or something? Or?
Yeah, I guess you're going to have to learn how to, Craigslist, list your credentials, see if you can get people to contact you. Listen to their project, how you might be able to help them, know exactly what your fees would be. Don't be shy about or commanding about what they would be. Have that already mapped out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something affordable, maybe to the person you're dealing with, that it might be a pay scale according to the project. That's what I think you can reach that goal. Sure. I believe that. I mean, I'm seeing it as a psychic, so
okay.
I got to go
right.
with it.
Right. Okay. All right. I guess. And also, do you know what my animal totem is, or would you possibly have an idea?
I get it's not like it's a bird with a lot of colorful feathers. I forget the name of it, but it's almost like a bird from South America. It's just a very exotic tropical bird, I'm seeing.
Okay.
But it's a bird. Do you have anything regarding birds in your private collection? Any drawings, paintings?
No, but I do love them. You know, I love birds because they're very so.
Well, this is a bird from, I think, South America. It might be in the parrot family or one of those big beak birds.
Toucan.
I don't know. It's not. But I want you to start looking at that in terms of the bird. Did you have a personal preference for an animal, guys?
Me? Not particularly.
Toucan.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a toucan because I just pulled up a picture and that's what he was seeing.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
so
maybe.
I'll look up the meaning.
Exactly. Ted Andrews. He's not alive anymore, but Animal Speak is a book he wrote.
Yeah.
I don't know if he talks
know
about
if he deals
toucans.
With that bird, but that's a good reference.
And he has there's a Facebook site, actually. We follow it because he has some good stuff on there. Obviously, someone else is running it now that he's no longer with us. But you may want to check that out, too.
Okay.
Perfect. Okay, Lola.
Thank you so much. Okay.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
And Lola can follow us on Blog Talk Radio. She can send us a friend request or follow us on Facebook. And she can also like Neil Baker Psychic on Facebook. And for further conversation, 562-596-7818. Our next caller is 253. Hello. 253, are you there? No sound. Okay. Area code 443.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
Kathy, how are you?
Hi, Kathy?
Mm-hmm.
We can't hear you very well, first of all, so if you could talk right into your phone.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah, it's really, really, you sound really far away. Are you on a headset?
The volume.
Are you on a headset?
No, I'm on my cell phone.
Oh, you're on a cell. Okay. Kathy, what's your birth date?
12-13-1953.
Okay. And what's going on, Kathy?
Well, I've been trying to talk to my angels and guides, but I haven't been hearing any messages from them.
You got one now.
Yeah.
What's that? Timing? I got one now?
No, that was good. Oh. That was good timing. That was funny. Okay. Angels and guides.
Well, you're about to receive, I think you're going to be getting a lot of messages coming this December.
Because of her birthday.
You're going to be turning 63, and you will be going through 9 cycles of your life. And 1953 comes to a 9, and you're going to be getting some messages about that. Now, in those messages, Kathy, I can give you a heads up. There might be a reorganization of your living condition. So, first of all, are you planning to move? Are you planning to redecorate? Or do you have any thoughts about that?
Well, eventually I want to retire and move to Florida, I guess.
Eventually, okay, so what we're looking at is somewhere between 63 and 70, you're moving.
What's your location now? I forgot to ask you, Kathy.
Maryland.
And you want to go to Florida?
I wanted to live like both places, but I don't know if that's going to be possible.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be possible. You have a 3-4. What you have is this interesting is your karma on your month and day becomes your master number 7. Your master number is 7, and then your energy on your year becomes a 9. So you have a 7 and a 9. That's 63. So somewhere between 63 and 70, you're going to be making these moves. And it's not to say that you can't be in 2 locations, because your birth date has a beautiful division regarding your master number and a higher number. So it might be possible. Do you have at least one child?
No, I don't have any.
Hmm.
You don't have any children?
My husband has one child.
Oh,
from his first
then
marriage.
your husband has one child, so you're a stepmother?
Yes.
Okay, so you have let's redesign this. You have a child through marriage. That's where it is.
Right.
So how long have you been married? More than 20 years?
No, like about 18 now, I think.
Okay. So, well, okay, good. But you see, I'm saying between 63 and 70, and when you've been married 20 years, which is 2 years from now, which fits that time scheme, that's where I see a move. So I think what we're preparing for, if you're asking me about how to open up the door to hear your guides, you could possibly be moving or getting into that zone upon retirement between 63, 64, somewhere in there, maybe up to 65. You more than likely might have those 2 locations. There's one that has a 2-story level to it, or it's a condo or something, or a townhouse. Do you live in a 2-story structure now?
Yeah, a 2-story house, yeah.
Yeah. So your two-story house now is giving me a specific location to land your energy on. And has there ever been anybody in your life named Peter or Paul, a P sound?
I have a cousin, Paul. Hmm?
What?
I'm sorry, say that again.
I have a cousin, Paul. And
cousin,
I had,
Paul.
And my mother's uncle, I think, or cousin was a Peter.
Okay.
So there is something in there along those lines. Yeah, I mean, your spirit guide seems to be telling me something about the direction of your life. So this is about a life and a spirit guide. And we don't have to make it an animal. It's just, you know, you said your guides, you mentioned your guides or something. About 4 years ago, was there an accident or any hospitalization or any medical intervention about 4 years ago with anybody?
My father has been, he died like five, I think it's been 5 years ago.
Okay. Well, that's probably where I'm going. I'm hitting that zone right there where the father crossed over. Because I said about 4 years ago, you're saying five. That's close enough. So
right.
that zone is there. Anybody in your life ever was in the insurance business, or is there any active energy around insurance at this point?
Oh, well, funny you should say that, because my mother just passed away the end of June, so my father had a couple policies, small ones, that we're cashing in on, or we have cashed in on.
Okay. So, you know, you asked me to connect to your guys. They seem to be feeding me information. It's what's happening, Kathy. And the information seems appropriately somewhat accurate. So they're feeding you information. Number one, they're there. You haven't lost sight of them. I don't know. Maybe you're not having a good connection, but they're there. So we have that established. In my mind, we do. And they're giving me information that seems gratifying. It seems progressive and positive. You know,
I wouldn't be surprised if my father's one of my guides now.
No. Your father is not a guide.
He's not a guide.
No.
So, well, let's explain a little bit about angels and guides. Well, generally, people have one guide throughout all their incarnations on the planet. So one main guide. Of course, other guides can come in to help out, but generally, there's one guide per person. As far as angels that come in and out of our life, I mean, we don't really have personal angels. A lot of people talk about there being angels that are personal angels, but it's really not accurate. Angels can come and assist human beings, but generally they don't intervene in human affairs. So, and humans don't become angels. Sometimes humans, when they transcend the planet and they're done with all of their incarnations on the planet, they can, if they are of a very high element on the planet, become guides within, because aren't guides for people, weren't they usually human beings?
Guides can be elevated to be human beings, but her father died.
Right. Won't become one. So when it's generally someone who's really served on the planet very intensely throughout their lifetimes that get elevated to that guide status. So it's not common that a person turns into a guide once they cross over.
Yeah. I mean, your father your father's spirit.
She was going to ask something. What were you going to ask? Tell her in a minute.
Oh.
Were you going to say something, Kathy?
Yeah, I was. I was going to say do you know who my guides are then?
Well, it's a guide. You have a guide, not, you know, it's not multiple guides, but go ahead, Neil.
Well, yeah,
you have
one guide that's sort of been following you since birth, and they've probably been following you on your journey before then. You know, they don't really, people think that guides don't need names. You can name your guide whatever you want. You can name your guide Yo-Yo. I don't, you know, they don't have to have a name. They're an energy, and they're in spirit.
Right, because we name people on the planet, obviously, but that's an Earth thing. There's not names in the astral.
They don't have names. They don't have social security numbers. You know, they don't. It's your guide, and it's by a sacred vibration. So the guide has transcended name. They're in spirit. and they're sacred and they're lovely and they care about you. They your whole life is involved in their energy because they've chosen to become a guide for human beings.
Mm-hmm.
They died being a guide for human beings and that on that planetary essence. So mm-hmm. you can name your guide. You can name your guide if you want. But
I think sometimes a guide will come over to me, but
they don't usually walk. I've never seen a guide walk around with a name, you know, like my
name tag.
Is Paul, hello, you know.
Paul or Peter.
Kathy,
you were saying something, but we didn't. You were both talking.
I know names aren't important, but sometimes I'll hear, well, he's dressed as this guy from the 18th century, and you're one of your guides, so, you know.
That's what people have told you?
Yeah, different things, yeah.
Right. I would be, I mean, you know, it's neither here nor there. Be careful. A lot of people claim to have connection with guides and spirits, and there's not, you know, a solid track record in, you know, getting validations that really prove that there's a communication with higher guides. So, you know, there's a lot of, I don't know.
You know, I mean, if you're talking about a guide that was once an earthly guide or an earthly person, maybe they mm-hmm. died. That was the last time they were on the planet in the 18th century. I don't know. That's a possibility. When you really understand the concept of guides, what I hear a lot of psychics and people who
think
talk
they're
about
psychic.
The spiritual world, it just sounds silly to me. It's not what I've experienced. I don't know where they're coming from. But they're entitled to their opinion. Maybe they went to a room I never been into. I don't know. But the guides that I've spoken to, some of them have been, on the planet. That's true. And their last incarnation was at a specific time on the planet. But when they've transcended the energy, they're beyond the time realm. They are dealing with your time realm. But of their time realm, they've already transcended. They're not attaching themselves to a certain century because they're in spirit now. What do they care about the century?
Yeah.
They're not coming back to the earth for their energy anymore. They're there for you. So be careful of that stuff. Or if someone says, you know, Cleopatra is your guide, I would be very careful about stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Is there anything else that you wanted to ask Kathy before we have a little bit of time before we go off the air? You're lucky because we're usually fairly busy, but we have
I
a
know
little
you extra. Are. And that other call didn't come on. I don't know if you can answer a question about a cousin.
Okay, go ahead. Do you have a birth date for this person? Is this?
I know it's June 6th, but I don't know what year.
Do you know how old he is?
She's like 55, I think.
She's 55. She would have just turned 55, so that would be what?
1961?
55 in 2016. Yeah.
She
always gets into these jobs that she seems to be having problems. The last job was fine, but this job she's in is terrible now.
Well, she would be a 29/11 too,
yeah.
If that's the correct year.
Is she divorced or any trouble with relationship?
No, not that I know of.
Is she married?
Yeah.
She's still married?
Mm-hmm.
And her marriage is stable as far as you know?
Mm-hmm.
Did she have two children, any children?
No children.
Hmm.
I'm just curious. Did you ever know anybody named Esther or Estelle or Ellen with an E?
Her mother's name is Evelyn.
Yeah.
Ah.
Okay, so I'm connecting to her quickly because we're almost wrapping up. And what was your question?
Is she going to get another job?
Yeah, she's going to get another. Okay, so I'm getting she's going to get another job. Now, believe it or not, this is a little weird.
Hmm.
Our topic today were animals. I'm getting an element right now that you're asking me about her, and the animal is a cat. Now, first of all, do you have a cat or does she have a cat?
I have a cat.
Okay. So I don't, for some reason, since you asked me that, and our topic is animal spirit guides, I'm getting a cat which you own, which means that, how can I stretch this? She's going to be getting a job soon. She hasn't had good luck in job, but she's about to enter a job realm where it's going to be a little bit better for her. She's going to be working under two people. As far as you know, did she ever work at a job under two men at the same time?
I'll have to ask her because I don't know right now.
Yeah, ask her that. And I want to ask you something. So I think she's going to be getting a job. That's the nutshell of it. And it's going to be better. What happened with you at the age of 25?
That would have been 1978 to 1979, because you're born in December. So it would actually be, you know, basically that 1978 in December.
I think you broke up my engagement. The guy I was engaged to.
You broke up your engagement.
Okay.
He did, right. Yeah. Something.
Yeah. Just want to know what the vibration was there, because that's your energy. But anyways, hope that's helped a little bit.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Okay, Kathy, thank you so much.
All right, have a good day.
You too, take care.
Bye.
Okay, Neil, well, we're about out of time, and we're back on the air on Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. Don't know if we'll be talking about animal guides or talking about something new, but definitely tune in to find out. Talk to you soon.